Amen, amen. Good morning. What a day of church already. Wow, it's been a couple weeks since I've been here. A couple weeks ago, I was working, and then last weekend I got to grab my wife and the dogs, and we went camping. Very good. Yeah, needed relaxation. But I came prepared today. I have a message today, but a couple months ago, something happened to me and my family, and I've been transparent with you guys with what's been going on with my son. My son struggles with addiction, and in fact, Father's Day, which I heard is coming up in June. I thought it was May, but I guess it's June. What do I know? Anyway, it's been almost a year, so Father's Day of last year, I preached a message on the prodigal son. And the night before, we had caught my son, you know, whatever, again. And I said, you either go to rehab or you got to leave my house. And Sunday morning, before I hit the deck, first service, I get a text from my wife that's on Father's Day, Slater's gone. He's decided to leave. And I came out and I preached that message to you guys. And that week, Joe was sharing his testimony with another church, and it was the first time he was going to share what happened to his kids with another church. So he'd asked me, hey, will you go and support me? I'm like, sure, of course I will. I'm working in Beverly Hills, so I'll just drive out to La Palma, and I'll watch you speak, and then I'll go out to work. So Joe speaks, and I mean, he's anointed, man. And I'm going through it, right? My son's gone. I have no idea what he's doing. He's out there. And he's his father's son, so I'm really worried. You know what I'm saying? And God speaks to me after Joe shares. He says, what's coming next might not be good, but I'll make it good. I want you to remember that. Okay, he said that to me. And after he said that to me, his presence lit me up probably gnarlier than I've ever been hit with the power of God before. I'm driving down the 405 out to Beverly Hills, and I am crying. My snot's flying out my mouth. I'm driving, but I'm worshiping, man. I want to rip my arms off and throw it at Jesus, because maybe I'll get closer to him. If I turn into a puddle of water and hand it, is that more of me? How can I give more of me in this moment? It was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. Every need, every want was fulfilled in that moment. So much so that I pulled up in front of Louis Vuitton and I had to sit there for 10 minutes. I called Tim and I'm like, dude, I think I just made love with God. And because that's what it feels like. But, it's nothing sexual. There's nothing but purity. It's pure love. It's fantastic. Anyway, the next day, I get home from work and my son's back. And he said, yeah, last night, when I was driving out to Beverly Hills, the sun was going down when I was in worship. He said, last night, I was crawling into my box by the trash can in Long Beach, and some guy comes up to me and goes, hey, wanderer, you look like the kind of wanderer that wants somebody to talk to him. Is that true? And he said, yeah. Who talks like that, by the way? Angels. Anyway, he goes, sure. And he goes, hi, I'm David. And he sat down and he ministered to my son about God and Christ. Played him a video of talking to Jesus, about a mom's love for her kids. And it got him to come home. Okay, so you were praying for him. I was praying for him. So that happened, right? Significant. And now he's a pastor and everything's okay. No, that's not a real Bible story. Real Bible stories are messy. Your life's a Bible story, by the way, just like mine. You just got to pay attention. So, Where was I? What? Oh, I came home and he was there. All right. So he went to rehab, right? You're going to rehab, dude. You're home, you're going right to rehab. You ain't staying here. So he goes to rehab. In the midst of rehab, he says, "Dad, I think I want to be in the military." I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus. Amen to that, bro. Because you're either going to learn how to be a man in the military or prison, son, because you're my kid. And that's the way, you know. Even though you're smarter than me, you know, you're showing signs of you need to go to the military, son." So I'm happy, right? So we're all, I'm team. He decides he wants to be in the Air Force. Dude, I've already ordered the sweatshirt, right? I'm training him because he wants to be special ops too. So I'm training him, this physical training. I literally have an Air Force sweatshirt, too soon, but whatever. I'm excited. And things start to happen. We got COVID. Then he got this staph infection. And like things start, so weeks are going by. Now a month's gone by and he's got a part-time job at Home Depot, but he's working 4 hours at Home Depot from like 4 in the morning to 9 in the morning or 5 hours. And then he's on the couch playing video games. So I'm not okay with this. This is not like a good life going on. Part-time and video games, that's it. But he's going to the military, so I'm letting it slide. You know, I can Monday quarterback myself all the time. But, you know, being a parent, you want to believe. You know, come on. I see greatness in you. Come on, you know. So a month goes by, and I'm like, "Hey, bro, special ops do special things, and you ain't special right now. So we're going to make another appointment to the military and get you out of here because I can feel it, Slater. Something's coming, bro, and it ain't good. I'm warning you, son." Anyway, so we make an appointment. It's on a Tuesday. Monday night, he comes home wasted. And I'm like, "What are you doing, dude? What are you doing? And so it's okay, Dad. I was just drinking Fireball. A military man, they can drink. I'm just drinking Fireball." And I'm like, "Dude, just go to bed. We got a big day tomorrow. Just go to bed." So I wake up the next morning. I get up at about 5 in the morning usually and spend time with God in the Word and in worship and prayer. And I was reading and I don't know what I read, but something broke me. I read something from the Word and I'm worried about my son and I just begin to weep. And I've got my earbuds in, so I don't know how loud it is, but I'm crying and I'm reading the Word and I feel this hand on my shoulder and it's him. And he goes, "What are you doing? What's wrong?" "Well, dude, I'm worried about you. And I'm just reading the Word and it's breaking me." So, and then I thought to myself, "What's he doing awake at 5 in the morning if he's been drinking Fireball all night? He ain't been drinking Fireball all night. He's been smoking fentanyl again. He's high. Oh my God, he's high." We're still going to the meeting. Again, I'm a parent that's just flailing. I just want to get him into the military so they can raise him. Okay? I've been doing it for 20 years. You do it, Air Force. Here you go, you know? I'm being transparent. I know it'll be good for him. Anyway, I get woken up at midnight that night. "I got him! Chris, get up!" "I got him, I caught him. He's getting high. We got him." Dude, you know, pandemonium in the house at midnight. I'm so mad and frustrated and sad and I grab him. I think I might have even slapped him. I'm not proud of it, but praise God that's the worst that I did. Anyway, I grabbed him and I saw the demon. There's a demon that is connected to addiction. There is a spirit that comes with it. And I saw him. I hadn't seen him since I was 16. See, I was the kind of junkie that I started shooting heroin when I was 16. And there was a time in my life where I could not help it. I lied to you. I stole from you. I did whatever I could to stick whatever I could in my arm. I saw him again. And I saw the pain in my son's eyes as I was grabbing him. Help me, Dad. You know, it's the combo. It's the combo of, I can't help it. And help me. And I said, you let go of my son. And you go to hell alone. And I prayed for him. And then I went to bed because I go to Al-Anon. You know? And I'm not talking smack on the program. Listen. I'm a recovering alcoholic addict, and I'm also a recovering codependent. They call us double winners. And so I'm just trying to navigate some Al-Anon through this. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to bed. And my wife, my beautiful, strong, smart, gnarly wife, sleeps in his bed with him. Right? That's a no-no in Al-Anon. You know what I mean? But listen, I know it saved my son's life. He would have died. I would have woke up to a dead man somewhere in the bathroom, on his bed, whatever. That demon was going to kill him. And let me continue because you'll see. So I wake up the next morning and I go to work. Now it's Wednesday. So I do hardwood floors. I'm out in Long Beach sanding a floor. My wife's day consists of this. Now she works at the post office from like 6 to 10. And then works at the salon from 11 to like 8 at night. My wife works. She's going to retire from the post office in like a year and a half. And you guys will see a lot more of her. She loves Jesus and she loves you. Today's her only day off. So I give her grace. No worries, babe. You know, relax. Do all that stuff. So she takes off work from the post office. And she basically goes through every single thing that he has. Every shoe, every hat, every wallet, every single thing that might have a fentanyl pill. Stupid little blue pills, man. She's going through it all day long. Catches him getting high 4 times. Now, I know there's places on your body to hide stuff. I've been to prison, and I'll just keep moving on. But that demon had him, man. You see what I'm saying? When I took him to that military meeting on Tuesday, okay? I'm talking about this is Tuesday night. Sorry, I didn't mean to skip ahead, but I took him to that meeting, that Air Force meeting, and they go, Slater, you scored so high on your ASVAB, you can have any job you want. Because I was like, dude, he's not Special Forces. What can we do now? Because if he qualifies for all of them, what's open now? You know? This is about time, not money, you know? Anyway, he goes, well, he can do this. And it's like basically learning how to, you know, going to school to be an engineer while he fills up jet fighters in the air over Europe. You know what I mean? Like, cool stuff, man. And when he gets out, he can work for Boeing for $180,000 a year, or you know what I mean? Or work for the military or whatever. And it's like, we left, and I'm like, dude, you did this. I didn't do this. Your mom didn't. I ain't smart enough to pass that test. Bro, you did it. Your mom and I see greatness in you. God sees greatness in you. And the United States military sees greatness in you, son. There's greatness in you. And we cried, and we were so happy. He's so excited. I want to be that. I want to be that. Yeah. That demon said, you ain't going to the military, bro. Oh, okay, you could go, but let's go out one more. Really? You know, since you're going to be a military man, let's really get high tonight. You know, you're going to have to stop. So you might as well give it. You know how we do it? Justify. So my wife chases him around all day. Oh, this is, by the way, midnight that night when we call him, we're on the phone, we're on a hotline trying to get him a bed. Like, we're not messing around, right? We got him a bed in this rehab in Palm Springs, and they say it's protocol. We're going to send a car tomorrow to pick him up. So my wife is literally waiting for this car. Slater's packed. She's going through and trying to keep him from getting high, and she's waiting for this car. Well, all their drivers are busy. So it takes all day long. My wife has one client to do of hair. She calls my daughter, look, I just gotta go meet this one lady. I'll be right back. She goes, all right, mom, all right. She goes, the lady says, what's going on? She tells her, and she goes, I ain't letting you do my hair. Go home. Take care of your family. That's a miracle. She goes home. Thank you, thank you, thank you. She goes home. She's there to put Slater in the Uber. The Uber finally gets there. She puts him in the Uber. He's loaded. She took his phone because he scores off of Snapchat. They call them plugs now. They don't call them dealers. They call them plugs. And they score off of things like Snapchat and stuff. They don't have beepers and stuff like that anymore. So we took his phone. And she's in the car. And something tells her to give him his phone back. I mean, that's nuts. Giving an addict their phone. She's like, here, I can track you. So she gives it to him. She goes back into the house, and she realizes that he forgot his vape, and he's smoking 50 Nick. And any of you guys that vape, I mean, you're strung out. You know, and 50 Nick is a lot of nicotine, and you stop, you're going to... start doing the chicken, you know what I mean? Like, you're upset. And you're coming off of fentanyl? No, it's Slater. She calls him, Slater, you forgot your vape. Come back. Oh, yeah. Hey, man, turn around. 5 minutes goes by. 10 minutes goes by. They just left. They just freaking left. She calls him again. No answer. Or calls him, no answer. Calls him again, no answer. Track him. He's at the Shell station down the street from our house. What's he doing there? Calls again, no answer. I'm going there. My wife is gnarly. She hops in her car and drives to the gas station. She's pulling in. The Uber driver's pulling out without my son. She's like, where are you going? He's like, I'm coming to get you. He won't come out of the bathroom. She pulls the car over, starts running inside the gas station. Call 911. Call 911. My son is dying. She busts in. Open that door. My son is dying. He's in there dying. Open this door. By the time they get the door open, my son slumped over, OD'd on the toilet with tinfoil and a straw. He's OD'd. She calls me on the phone. And this is after work. I'm driving home on the 405 from Long Beach. It's like 3:30 or 4 o'clock. Chris, oh my God, you have to get here. He's dying. Slater's dying. Oh my God, Chris. Oh my God, he's dying. I'm like, what? He's at the Shell station. We're at the Shell station. Get here. I'm all, what are you doing at the Shell station? He's like, oh my God, he's blue. He's blue. Chris, come on, please. And I gotta go. I hang up the phone. First thing I do is I call my business partner because I just left him and I needed somebody. I go, my son is OD'ing. Pray. Click. He's all, what? You know, click. And I begin to pray in tongues all the way from Long Beach to Huntington Beach. I mean, I said, God, please have mercy on my boy. But I'm praying in tongues the whole time. Because I don't know what to pray. And I want power to go out from my mouth. I want the very God that shakes the mountains to move. So I pray in tongues. I show up at the gas station and... oh my God, I'm his father. I'm his father. He's breathing. He's not responding, but he's breathing. Oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I need to go back to give you... my wife's version, right? Because she called me when we hung up the phone, what I did, or when we hung up the phone, what happened to her was this. She hangs up the phone. Right then, two first responders who just happened to be in the gas station get my boy off the toilet, throw him on the floor, and they start CPR. A woman my wife never saw again grabs my wife and begins to pray in tongues over my son. I'm praying in tongues in my truck at the same time. I just share that because it's relevant. I think it's relevant. The ambulance came. They Narcan'd him. And that's what happened when you OD. It's called Narcan. And usually they Narcan you and you go, hey, man, what's that? What happened? You know? He's not coming out of it. So we go to the hospital and we go to Hogue. And because of COVID, only one person can stay with the patient. So, of course, I leave my wife there with my son. Apparently, they had hit him two more times with Narcan. So much so that his body's going into convulsions and they have to put him in a coma because he's not coming out of it. He's not responding to the Narcan three times. So I'm driving back to my house. And I don't know why I didn't text or call Joe yet. I just was in the middle of it, right? And I called Pastor Ed because Pastor Ed's son, Josh, is my son's best friend. He's doing great, by the way. And I called him to tell him, hey, man, you tell Josh to keep doing the do because his friend might die tonight because he didn't. And Ed's such a beautiful man. I go home and he shows up at my house. And he said, brother, I'm not going to let you be alone. And I said, well, thanks, Ed. And we talked for a minute. I said, you know, Ed, I appreciate you coming over, but I need to get with God right now. Like, I actually really need you to leave. He goes, okay, cool, brother. I'm out of here. And I went to my kitchen, and I grieved my son's death. I had to wrap my mind around losing him, and it's there is a finality to death. There is something that happens when you are faced with letting somebody go and accepting that you might not see them again for a while, or I don't know where my son's at anyway. I wept on my kitchen floor for I don't know how long. I sounded like a wounded animal, and I cried and I mourned his death. And I wrapped my head around what it would be like to accept that. And then I went out into the backyard and I began to worship and I began to pray. Because I thought of my pastor. One of my best friends and my mentor and my shepherd. And I thought about him and his kids and the way that he has not left this pulpit or his flock. How he's really navigated through the hardest thing I've ever seen somebody navigate through. And the man is responsible for his life and all that he's been given through that. All this comes to mind as I'm praying. And so I begin to pray like this. Father God, if you take my son's life tonight, I will not shrink back. I will not second guess your love for me. I will not blame you for this. I will not shrink back, not even one day. In fact, if you want me to preach tomorrow, I'll preach. I preached a funeral 3 days later. I didn't need any time off or nothing. God brought me to this place of eternity. And I said, God, if you take my boy's life or you spare his life, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Whatever happens, blessed be your name. And I'm all in. And I heard this whisper. And he said, because of your faith, today I have blessed your house. And I got up from praying and I'm like, you know, okay. My wife calls me hey, you got to come pick me up from ICU. We can't spend the night with the patient, so I can't spend the night with Slater. You got to come pick me up. He's still not out of it. Nothing's changed. Okay, sweetie, I'm on my way. I pick her up from Hogue, and we're waiting at that red light right by the emergency room, and we're crying, you know. We're crying, and I look to my wife with tears in my eyes, and I said, babe, for what it's worth, God spoke to me tonight, and he said, because of my faith, that he's blessed our house. And she didn't say nothing. In fact, I don't know if we spoke on the way home, but we did pray in bed together that night, and we were just waiting for a phone call. We're just waiting. Is there brain activity? When you get hit with Narcan three times and you don't come out of it, is he going to be a vegetable? Is he going to be retarded? Or, you know, what's going to happen? We get nothing all night, but we get a phone call in the morning at 6:30 in the morning. He's awake. He's awake. You guys, he woke up. No residuals. It took him like a couple days to even figure out where he was at. He's in a really good rehab right now. And thank you, Lord. And it's real because he wrote us a letter. I haven't gotten to even see him since. But he wrote a letter to us, and it was real. It said, you know what? AA's all right, I guess. This kind of sucks, but I'm learning a lot about myself, Dad and Mom. That's real, you know? And so I thank you for your prayers. But here's the thing, I'm not even done. Let me put the cherry on top of the sundae of this testimony. The girl that worked at the gas station posts on Facebook about what happened that day. You're not going to believe what happened in my gas station today. Well, mutual friends of ours. Like, oh, that's Chris and Tracy's boy. They put Tracy in touch with this girl that works at the gas station. And she says, Tracy, you have no idea. She goes, I took my 6-month chip that day. She said, my boyfriend died of a fentanyl overdose in a gas station bathroom 3 years ago. Those first responders that just happened to be in my gas station come in at the same time every day and buy $100 worth of lotto tickets. God uses people's diseases to move. Yeah. Yeah. But let me, that's not even the best part. She said, Tracy, 2 hours after you left, that they took Slater and you guys left, 2 hours after you left, a woman came into my gas station and she stops in the middle of the room and she says, the presence of God is here. This place is blessed. And she goes, and she began to cry. And I told her what happened and she just gave me gifts and she was crying. It was crazy. It was beautiful, Chris. And so I share that with you, church, because the God of the Old Testament, the same God that shook Mount Sinai, showed up in Huntington Beach, California in 2022 on Garfield and Magnolia and resurrected my son from death. Shifted things in the natural that are impossible. Used my wife and her just incredible gift to keep us alive. To keep us alive. But his glory. I really want you to get this. His glory was left over. He moved in HB, California. And his glory was left over. And in his sovereignty, he sent one of his own that could feel it to declare it. So I could share it with you. So I could share it with you. So they could. So God moved in HB, people. He moved. Now I want to minister because I want you to know something. That very day God saved my boy, I asked him why he saved mine and not Joe's. I said, why Slater and not Gabe or Sarah? I don't understand you, Lord. It's not that I'm not grateful, but I don't understand you. And this took a while, but it's what the Holy Spirit has been revealing to me. First of all, it's none of my business. For real. My business is my salvation. Now, I am a steward. We are stewards over people that we love. But now more than ever, I know that my son's salvation is not mine. That's his. And I think God has unfinished business with Slater Jones. And he spared his life. And maybe, just maybe, it was because of the faith of me and my wife. Maybe, just maybe, it was from us praying vigorously over our children. You know, maybe, just maybe. But I'll tell you one, I can guarantee you this. God saved his life for him, not for me, not for my wife. Slater's life is God's. And so I say that because Sarah and Gabe are alive. I mean, Joe's one of my best friends. See, it's taken me a couple months to share this with you because in his wisdom, he's like, bro, we need to process this. We need to marinate on this. We need to walk this out so we can present it to the church that will empower their faith. And so we did. And we understand that Sarah and Gabe are alive. They're alive with Christ. They're so alive. And I don't take away from the pain that happens when people that we loved are taken from us. But church, I promise you this. My relationship with my son is different. I haven't even seen him, and he's a different man to me. I'm not so. Oh my God, am I losing? I'm just gonna be a wreck. No, it's not true. I've been there. If I have to revisit that, I will be sad. I will cry, I will weep, I will mourn, but I will know that my God is with me. And that if in his sovereignty, he decides to take anybody I love, he's still good. You see, it's sin that hurts us. It's sin that's hurting our children, not God. It's sin that hurts our life, not God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who should believe in him should have everlasting life. That is the greatest act of love that anybody has ever done for anyone. And that's what God did for us. So it's like we don't have to trip. Why is the world so bad? Why would God allow this? Why does God allow babies to get killed and molested? I get all that. I don't know. But I know this, when God says something, he don't go back on it. So when God says, I give man free will, he means it. It's man that sins against man. We molest other, right? It's us that rape and hate and kill and murder. It's the sin. It's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is love. That, like Tim was preaching. And that's what draws us to the gospel, because it's not the goodness in you that connects us to Jesus. It's the badness. It's our badness. It's our filthiness. It's our disgusting sin that connects us first to the living God, to Christ. Revelation 12, 10 and 11 says this, and this is a chapter of the Bible that we're living in, guys. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them night and day before God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives even unto death. So I shared that testimony with you today because it's that testimony that's going to smash demonic things in your life. It's the blood of the Lamb and the faith and the finished work of what Christ did on the cross for you that will bring you freedom. It's the Word of God that will transform your mind and begin to make you think, oh, I used to think that was profitable. I used to think porn was profitable. I used to think that lying a little bit was all right. I used to think that being selfish, you know, most of the time, but being kind sometimes was cool. You know, I'm an okay person. The more you get to know God, the more His love will expose the bad things in you. But it's done with such grace, and it's done with such a guarantee of, it's not, oh, you sinner, I love you. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. I love that about Him. He connects with us in our sin. And so, you know, I just pray that this testimony really touches even the new believers. Because bad things do happen. And you know what? My son still is going to die someday. Not maybe. He will. I'm going to die. You're going to die. This body, I mean. Not your spirit. Not his spirit. We're spiritual beings. Eternal beings. And we're going somewhere. This isn't it. There is destinations ahead. And so, I think the biggest trick of the devil is that he tricks his church into thinking that this temporal life, everything in the world, who's the president of the United States, really matters. That's how he tricks us. And I'm not saying we don't get active and vote and do all that stuff, but man, you guys, if you think a man's gonna save you, you are tripping. You're tripping. And it could even be a good man. He's a flawed man full of sin. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Anyway, my point is it ain't about politics. It ain't about, I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff in the world. And this is what I love about the kingdom. Because you can't see the kingdom. The kingdom's not over there. Hey, the kingdom of God's over there. Just go over there. The kingdom's there. Or the kingdom of God's over there. It ain't like that. The kingdom of God's right here. It's right there. It's the invisible kingdom. And it keeps getting brighter and bigger. The crazier this world gets. Look, if you get nothing out of this today, get this. You can spend all your time learning about what's going on and trying to figure out what's going on in this world. Or you can learn about what God says about you. Because you're going to spend time learning about it. And I get the curiosity. I want to know about all that evil, weird, you know. I want to know about people lying to me. I mean, trust me, I've been down the rabbit hole, waking up and going, my whole life has been a lie? You mean the black box in my living room lied to me? Because it raised me. That black box raised me. And it lied to me. Salvation in Jesus is so beautiful. The relationship with Him can and should be like a lover. Especially if you're married, you have a boyfriend and girlfriend. Could they do an investigation into your life and find out that they're cheating on you? Or you're cheating on them with God? See what I mean? Could they look into your life and, man, you spend more time with the Lord than me? Because I hope they can. I hope they can. That's the kind of relationship the Lord wants to have with you. A love affair. Not a, okay, get into the scripture. Even though I understand that feeling. Break through that. If you learn a little, It will spark the Holy Spirit inside you. He moves away the things of the world. It's not you. You will never go, this thing that I've been taking from the world my whole life or most of my life, that's been making me feel comfortable, it's comfortable. You're not going to set that down on your own. You won't. Even if that's just thought behaviors. Okay? That's what's so beautiful about the word when it says that it renews our mind. The word of God will break that grip that that thing has on you. That's your only hope. It's the word. But faithfully the word will shave those things off. Faithfully God will transform your life. Faithfully and gently. That's what I love most about him. You know what? Can I just share something real with you? And then we'll end. We got about 8 minutes. I'm not even going to preach a message today. I brought it. But I shared the gospel in a bar on Friday night. I'm in a punk band. I'm not in a Christian punk band. I'm in I would call it a rock and roll band. But we do secular gigs in secular places. I don't have songs about Jesus. I have positive songs. I'm a Christian. You know what I mean? I should be the same everywhere I go. Amen? Including the songs that I sing. So all that lines up. But see, I have never before gone to a gig in the name of the Lord. I've been in a Christian punk band and I did that. And God moved. I went all over the world. People got delivered at my shows. Demons were cast out. It was crazy, man. But I haven't gone to a secular gig in the name of the Lord. I've been saved for, I don't know, almost 20 years, right? And I'd be praying because I love music, right? I wanted to be a rock star. And I'm like, Lord, you're the one that gave this. My heart was to play music, God. And like, just make it happen, okay? Make me a rock star, right? Basically, that's what it was. And he didn't say nothing. Hasn't said nothing to me for years. So now, right before this gig happened, I'm like, Lord, you did it. I'm done. I don't like music. I don't want it. I just want to preach your word. I want to pastor your church. You did it. I'm a pastor. I'm not a rock and roller. I'm a pastor. And he goes, perfect. Now I want you to preach the gospel from the stage until they ask you not to come back. Okay. So I did it Friday night. And it went good, huh, Landon? Landon's in my band. He rocks. And I see what God's doing now. See, it transforms. It's taken me 20 years. Should have been doing that the whole time. You know why? Because people submitted. Anybody was there, ask them. I mean, one guy said, F yeah. You know, like. But these are the people I've been called to minister to go back to, right? Spread seeds. Do it in a way that maybe they'll receive. I don't care if they hate me anymore. God's like, right on, I've been waiting for that. It's been all about you, because it was. I still needed the cheers. Oh, Chris, you're so good. Oh, my God. You guys are so good. Finally, the Lord himself, the word took that from me. And now I'm like, oh, fasting and praying before a show like that. I see what you want to do. Okay, I'll do that. All right, God, we'll make it all about you again. So I'm excited to, you know, see where that goes. But my point is even the hardest head, knucklehead, you know, I lovingly call myself, which is the truth, a satanic pagan idol worshiper that's been saved by the blood of Jesus. Literally, I've come out of that. Satanic idol worshiping pagan, saved by the blood. Saved by the blood of Jesus. So that looks different than, say, somebody else that got raised in a Christian home or whatever. It's okay. Be yourself in Christ. Spend your time learning about what he said. That's what's going to change your life, church. Not YouTube, not Facebook, not Netflix, not whatever's going on in the White House. The word. It will keep you. It will hold you. It will resurrect you out of this mess. Do you know that we live in the belly of the beast? That's what I like to call this beautiful planet. Because it's ran by the king of the world. Okay? The king of the air. The king's delicacies are on his table and they're all for you, but they will leave you lacking. And they all tell you, you ain't got enough. Whatever it is, you ain't got enough of it. Whatever you need more. The Bible says that those who drink from the well of life will never thirst again. Never. Because every need, every want will finally be complete. When we start focusing on the word and focusing on Christ and focusing on the very love that came to give us life and life more abundantly. I have been launched into this new realm with God. And I pray today that it rubbed off on you, that the next time death comes knocking at your door, you'll remember Pastor Chris and Pastor Joe and other people, other Christians that leaned into Jesus, that didn't run and just fall into a million pieces, even though we did fall into a million pieces. But we after we were done grieving, we knew where to go. To the Word. To the Lord. Where can I go? You were in the depths of hell. You're in the highest heavens. Where can I go, oh Lord? I pray that you remember that he's faithful. And that this life is but a vapor. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you have and you've backslidden and you came in today and you're like, whoa, I have not been living like a Christian. Then let's pray. You can either give him your heart today or you can rededicate it to him today. But today's the day. Tomorrow is promised to no one. And let me tell you one thing that I do see, and I really don't watch any of that stuff anymore because I see the value in the word and the not value in that, but it's getting crazy out there, you guys. I mean, I think some man just won a woman's Olympic swimming thing. I don't know, but seems like the last days to me. When bad is good and good is bad. But God's church, Christ's church, man. Ain't no devil in hell, no man on earth gonna stop what God's doing in this place. Amen? So, without any further ado, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you want to rededicate yourself today, just raise your hand and we'll pray. Amen. Amen. I see your hands. Right on. Right on, brother. Right on. Right on, sister. Church, why don't you pray with me? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I ask you to break every chain and every shackle that would hinder me from walking with you. And I say, today I'm saved, today I'm changed, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Welcome to the family. You guys, I love you. May this testimony bless and strengthen you. The God of the universe is still alive and well, and he loves you. Amen.